Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and privileged that you have granted us another opportunity at life and the opportunity, Lord, to hear your divine word of truth. We pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Fisher have a ready recollection of those things he has prepared. Pray, Lord, that he lifts up your son Jesus on that cross. Pray, Lord, that someone is drawn to that power, to that love, and to understand and recognize that they need a Savior. Pray, Lord, someone is willing to obey the gospel. Lord, we ask this prayer in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very grateful tonight to have each and every person on the call tonight. We are especially happy to have those who are on the call who are not members of the Church of Christ. You're a very honored guest. Pray now you open your Bible and you open it and follow along with our speaker tonight. The speaker, the person, Brother Ronnie Fisher, minister of the Seminary Street Church of Christ. And tonight he will talk about, have you not read about the man of sorrows? Brother Fishers, tell us about the man of sorrows.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, and I want to thank Brother Flounder for the opportunity to share with you on tonight. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah 53, and we will look at verse number 3. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 3. The Bible says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah calls Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, a man of sorrow. And it becomes quite interesting because Isaiah could have called Christ several different things. He could have called him a man of holiness, for we know that he lived a perfect life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 2, and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19, he could have called him a man of love and a man of kindness, for there was no one who showed greater love and greater kindness towards fellow men. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. But Isaiah calls him a man of sorrow. And tonight I want to tell you that when you think about that word sorrow, Isaiah is talking about from a physical perspective, Jesus is a man of sorrow. Some versions of the Bible translated as a suffering. Some translated even as pain. And so when we put it all together, Isaiah is telling us that our Lord and Savior was a man of sorrow, a man of pain, and a man of suffering. Well, then the question becomes then, why does Isaiah call him a man of sorrow? Tonight, family and friends, brothers and sisters, and those that are visiting on the call tonight, I stop by to tell you the reason why he is a man of sorrow. Jesus is a man of sorrow. He's a man of sorrow for you. He's a man of sorrow for me. He's a man of sorrow for all of us, because there were some things that only Jesus could do for us that we couldn't do or nobody else can do for us, so that we may have the right to the tree of life. I stop by to tell you tonight, the reason why he's a man of sorrow is because we needed a sin bearer. We needed someone to come in and to take away the sins of the world, that we may have the right to the tree of life. See, understanding that if Jesus was not the man of sorrow, we would still be lost and dead to sin. We would still be in darkness, and we would not have this marvelous life. We would be without hope, and nothing would, no matter how good we were, we would not be saved. But because Jesus is the man of sorrow, he came to be the sin bearer so that we could have our sins removed. Look with me in John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The Bible says, the next day, John seeing Jesus coming unto him and saying, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Family and friends and those that are visiting, who lives in the world? Who is a part of the world? That's us. Jesus is a man of sorrow because he came to be our sin bearer, to take away the sins
of the world. Well, why did Jesus do that for us? Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, because it becomes very significant on why he is the man of sorrow. See, understanding that Jesus didn't come, he didn't come to bear our sins, and he could do that any kind of way. It was designed for him to be the ultimate sacrifice for us. That's why John called him the Lamb of God. When we look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, who his own self bare our sins, his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sin shall live unto righteousness. By his stripes we are healed. See, understanding, remember that we looked at that word sorrow. Can be translated as suffering, can be translated as pain. And so when we look at Jesus being our sin bearer, there were some things that he endured for us, that we may have the right to the tree of life. And what I mean by the tree of life, that we can go to heaven, and there's not going to be another death after we leave this place. But you have to understand that it's not just for anybody. This promise that he gives us is for those that come into contact with him. See, Jesus came to be the sin bearer, that we can have a relationship with God. See, we were dead to sin. There was no hope. But because the man of sorrow that he is, he came that we may have hope. He came that we may have life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's what the man of sorrow has done for us. Look with me in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 5. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 5. The Bible says, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Jesus came to take away the sins that we have on us. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and about verse 23, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we are justified through Christ Jesus. The sin bearer had no sin, but he bared the sins so that we can be forgiven. That's what the sin bearer has done for us. That's what this man of sorrow has done for us. He suffered, he bled, and he died so that we could have a relationship with the Father. But listen, Jesus says in John chapter 14 and about verse number 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but except by me. And the reason why he said that was because he made the way that we may have the right to have a relationship with the Father. And there were some things that Jesus did for us. But listen, point number two tonight. He was a man of sorrow so that he could redeem the lost. Family, friends, brothers and sisters, and those that are visiting tonight, I stop by to tell you that when you have not come into contact in the blood of Christ, you're lost. But Jesus said that I am come that you may have the right to the tree of life. I've come that I can redeem you. You're lost, and Jesus has made a way by being the man of sorrow that we can be found. We're lost and we're in darkness, but Jesus said that I am the light, that we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. But Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. He is the man of sorrow. Look with me in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 18 and starting at verse 11. The Bible says, For the Son of Man is come to save those which that are lost. That's why he's a man of sorrow. He came and he bled and he died on the cross He was pierced in his side. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head and pushed down until the blood came streaming down. He was beaten for us. He was lied on. As a matter of fact, he was held to be guilty when he was innocent. And the innocent was let go when he was guilty. And the real kicker about all of this is that he never said a mumbling word. Why did he do that? He did it for us. He suffered. He endured affliction and pain, and he had you in mind. And so when all of this was going on, he never said a mumbling word because he wants to redeem the lost. The Bible says in verse 12, how think ye if a man had 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek to find that which was gone astray? And if so be that he finds it, verily I say unto you, rejoice more that the sheep than the 99 which were not gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of the Father which is in heaven that none of these little ones should perish. It's not God's will that you should perish, but it's God's will that all of us come to him. But in order for that to happen, the man of sorrow had to go to the cross. He had to be the ultimate sacrifice. He was the lamb that had no spot. He was the lamb that had no sin, but he was a sin bearer to redeem us, that none of us won't be lost, but that all of us, we can be found. We can be found tonight. Listen. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, for Christ also once suffered for the sins, that the just for the unjust. See, understanding that Jesus died on the cross, that we that are unjust can be just like him. That's why he suffered. That's why he went through the sorrows and went through the pain and agony so that we can be just, so that we can have our sins removed, so that we can have our sins washed away, so that those of us that are lost can be found. This is why he is the man of sorrow. He's the man of sorrow because he suffered for the sins that he might bring us to God. This is the number one reason why he suffered. This is the number one reason why he is the man of sorrow, so that he can bring us to God. And I stop by to tell you tonight that if you don't have the Lord in your life, it's time. It's time. It's time. It was the Ethiopian eunuch that was reading the exact text of Isaiah 53, and he asks, and Philip asks the question, do you understand what thou readest? He said, how can I understand except a man guide me? And as Philip walked him through Isaiah, he said he preached Jesus unto him. But look at what Philip, look at what that Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts chapter 8. He said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? My family, my friends, my brothers and sisters, and those that are on the call tonight, what's hindering you from obeying the gospel tonight? Jesus died that you might live. Jesus died so that you have the opportunity to become a part of the kingdom and the benefits that come with it. And I stop by to tell you tonight that if you are not a part of his kingdom, you are not a part of the benefit. But the benefit, my brothers and sisters, and I don't have time to deal with it on tonight, but I will tell you that that's a part of eternal life that comes with being the child of God. Jesus is the man of sorrow, so that you could become the child of God. Jesus is the man of sorrow so that you could be saved. Jesus is the man of sorrow. He suffered, he bled, and he died so that you have the opportunity to get to heaven. The Bible says, and the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, look at verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When we look at this word might, that means that there is no guarantee, because there is no guarantee outside of the body of Christ. Jesus bled and died and hung on the cross with a guarantee for those that come into Christ, but not those that are still lost and outside. He's a man of sorrow that you might become for you to become unjust to just. And the only way that we come from unjust to just is when we put the Lord on in baptism. When we become a part of his body, when we put on Christ and we wear him. But until that happens, we're still outside. We're still lost. But Jesus is the man of sorrow that you don't have to still be outside of the body. Jesus was a man of sorrow so that you could become a part of the body. As a matter of fact, in verse 18 of John chapter 3, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he that does not believe on the only begotten of the Son of God. Listen, the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. See, understanding that if you desire to be saved tonight, it's the answer of a good conscience. And what the answer of the good conscience is saying that you've got to step out on faith. It takes more than just belief in order to be saved. You got to put your faith and your works together, because faith without works is dead. Well, Brother Fisher, I believe. Brother Fisher, I believe. Well, then do something about your belief. Believing is great, but believing is just not enough. You got to do something about your faith. And y'all give me a few more minutes, and I'm going to get there. I'm going to help us tonight to understand that Jesus is the man of sorrow so that you can do something about your faith. But listen, if we look at Jesus from another perspective, from being a man of sorrow from a point of not just the physical, but think about a mental mindset. Think about it from a standpoint, if I've done everything that I could do to set my son up for success, I've worked countless hours, and I've done everything that I can to set my son up for success. And then my son turns around and he tells me, after I've worked hard and invested so that he could be successful, to tell me, Daddy, I just want to be a bum in life. I just want to sleep on your couch. I just want to watch your TV. And I want you to continue to pay for everything for me. That's a man of sorrow. Because understanding that after everything that Jesus has done for you not to obey his gospel, that has to be a standpoint of a place of sadness for the Lord. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7 that straight is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. Why did Jesus be the man of sorrow? Why did he die? Why did he bled? Why did he hang on the cross for us to turn around and be lost? Why would he do that? That's not his desire for us. He didn't hang. He didn't bled. He didn't die for us to be lost. He did it so that we could be saved. But think about that. But when we go and we continue to look at the next verse, the Bible says, and straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth to righteousness. But here's the sad part. Only few will find it. For those of you that are not members of the Lord's church, the question tonight is, which direction are you going? Because you have to understand, you cannot become just until you have been baptized in the blood of Christ. You cannot be just until you have washed your sins away. That's the only way that one can begin to walk down the narrow way. Which way do you want to walk tonight? But listen, remember Jesus said that I am the way. So we have to do it the way Jesus said do it if we want to get to where the Father is. Look with me, look with me, look with me. So you understand that Jesus endured many hardships. He endured many sorrows and suffering, all for the purpose of doing God's will. That's what he did. It was all in the plan. And the plan for God's will is that all of us might be saved. But it's not guaranteed until you do what the Lord has told us to do. Look with me, look with me, look with me really, really fast in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count it slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. If you're wondering why you're still here, it's because the Lord is trying to give you time and an opportunity to get it right with him. But my brothers and sisters, families and friends and those that are visiting on the call tonight, the time will come where it's going to be too late. But listen, he's blessed you right now to get it right with him. The Bible tells us in the book of James chapter 4 that life is like a vapor. But we can be here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night, and we don't know when he's coming. But what I know right now is that you have the opportunity. Jesus gave you that opportunity when he died on the cross, when he suffered, when they nailed him to the cross, when they pierced him in the side. When Jesus said that it is finished, he wasn't talking about that he was giving up. He was talking about, I have died for your sins. He never said a mumbling word because he wanted those of us that are lost to be found. This is why Isaiah calls him that man of sorrow. And what a way it is. He doesn't desire that we perish, but that all of us come to repentance. That word repentance means to change. That word repentance means that I'm coming from out of the world. I'm coming from out of myself, and I'm ready to live for Christ. That's why he became a man of sorrow, so that we could live for him. Listen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 8, Romans chapter 5, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And but God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He was a man of sorrow for us because we were sinners, and he loved us. God loves us. God loves you now, that he does not want you to be lost. He wants you to be found. He does not want you to condemn you, but he wants to come and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But the only way that we can be God's servant is that we have to obey his blessed command. As a matter of fact, look with me real fast in John chapter 15 and verse 13. John chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend." Jesus is that man of sorrow. But see, Jesus went beyond than just laying down his life. He suffered. He endured heartache. He endured pain for us. He endured pain for us. And he says, no, he says, "I am your friend. But visitors tonight, are you really a friend to Jesus? Are you really a friend to the man who is sorrow? Are you really a friend to our Lord and Savior? Are you really a friend to the Messiah? But look at what Jesus says in that same chapter in verse 14. He says, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I commanded unto you. Jesus says, I'm your friend because I laid down my life. But Jesus says, if you're my friend, then you need to listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You know, a lot of folk, and do you really appreciate, and I'll say it this way, do you really appreciate what the Lord has done for you? He loved you. That he became a man of sorrow. He laid down his life. He went through pain and agony just for you. Do you appreciate it? I tell my children this all the time. Don't tell me that you love me and appreciate me. You show me by doing what I've asked you to do. Don't just say, Daddy, I thank you and I love you and I appreciate you. By showing me that you appreciate me and you loving me, that means you're going to listen and follow my rules. That's how you show me that you appreciate me. Just telling me you appreciate me by showing me honor and showing me respect, but you listen to what I tell you. And if you love the Lord tonight, if you appreciate for God, if you for sending his son to be the man of sorrow, then I stop by to tell you, you got to show your appreciation by listening to him. What did he tell me to do? He said, hear my gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that he is the man of sorrow? And that because he is that man of sorrow, he died on the cross with you in mind, and he never said a mumbling word because he desires that we be saved. Do you believe that tonight? You've heard the gospel. Do you have enough faith to step out on faith? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. If you're willing to walk out on faith tonight by hearing his gospel, by believing it, that ought to make you change your life. That's repentance. We looked at that. He said that I don't desire that you be lost, but I desire that all men come to repentance. I sent my son to be the man of sorrow. I sent him to die on the cross. I sent him to be beat. I sent him to be lied on. I sent him to endure affliction and pain so that you might be saved. That's what the Lord has done for you. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 17 and about verse number 30 that a time God winked at ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In Luke chapter 13 and verse number 3, Peter says, I tell ye nay, except ye repent, you should all likewise perish. And if you're willing, if you're hearing his gospel and you're believing it and you're willing to walk out on faith and change your life, then it ought to make you not be ashamed to let other folks know about Jesus. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and with the mouth man confess, for confession is made unto salvation. Well, preacher, what do I need to confess? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 and about verse 32, he that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denies me, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus does not want to deny you, but he wants to accept you. Because what was the point of dying on the cross? What was the point of being the man of sorrow if you're not going to be saved? I made a way. Now you just have to follow the way. Follow the way that I've instructed for you to be saved. And when you follow that way, I will accept you. Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but it's the one that does the will of my Father. You can't come to heaven. You can't come into the church any kind of way. You have to follow the way of Jesus Christ. And this is the way. And he said, my friends, what he told us is that we have to be baptized for the remission of sins. When Philip was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, after he got done preaching Jesus from Isaiah 53, that eunuch said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, thou mayest." And the Bible says, and they went into the water, and he baptized him for the remission of their sins. We can see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter commanded them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. About 3,000 souls came forth, and they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Where did the apostles get it from? They got it from Jesus, because they were the ones who walked with him and talked with him. And so it was really Jesus' doctrine. The Bible says in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, praising God and having favor, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Two things that I want to point out there. Number one, the Holy Spirit does not come until after the baptism. Number two, you are added to the body of Christ, and it's after the baptism. Notice what the text did not say. You got to fill out an application. That ain't what the text said. The text did not say that I got to sit on the morning bitch and tarry. That's not what the text said. The text did not say that I got to be voted in. But the Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Family, friends, brothers and sisters, and those that are visiting on tonight, if you've been voted in, that ain't right. You have to be baptized, and it's the Lord that adds you. Because family, friends, brothers and sisters, those that are visiting, I stop by to tell you that when you've been voted in, you can be voted out. But when you are a part of the Lord's church, can't nobody take you out but the Lord. But he wants you to stay. Because remember, he sent us the man of sorrow, that we all may have the right to the tree of life. And in your faith, he wants you to be faithful. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. If you be faithful unto death, you will receive a crown of life. God bless you on tonight. God bless you on tonight. If you stand in the need of prayer, if you're standing and you're ready to step out on faith and be baptized for the remission of your sins so that Christ did not do this in vain for you, get in touch with us. Get in touch with who invited you tonight. If you're in the Denton area, get in touch with me. We will come right now and baptize you, because that's the remedy. That is the ingredients of the Bible. That is what the Bible tells us to do, not to wait, but to baptize right then and there. A man of sorrow. God bless you, Brother Brooks.
Thank you, my brother. Wow, good lesson there. Certainly we all should understand this man of sorrow suffered to save our soul. We appreciate you so very much, my brother. You have laid it out tonight. If we love God, if we love the Lord, and we understand and appreciate the man of sorrows. If you're on the call tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that we want to touch your heart to think about the suffering Jesus went through to save your soul. We believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. If you want to be saved tonight, we want you to understand you must hear what Brother Fisher taught us tonight, and you must render obedience to it. So if you want to be baptized and you want to become a member of that church he purchased with his blood or be washed in his blood, then get back with the person who invited you to the call, and they will get in touch with us or make arrangements for you wherever you are. Or you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's a nationwidegospelcall. @yahoo.com. If you need Bible study, if you want a preacher to come to your home and study with you more, you just want to make arrangements to get baptized, we'll do all that for you no matter where you are. We'll find someone to help you. Perhaps you want to go back and listen to the message tonight or any of the messages we've had on, from all the speakers we've had on, all the topics. You want to know more about the one church, you want to know about more about how we worship, things of that nature, just go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's Holland Heights, coc.net, and on there, you go to sermon, click on the sermon tab, nationwide gospel meeting call, and you will find all the flyers, all the sermons are downloadable. You can go back and listen to them and listen more carefully and take notes. And we pray, though, you won't keep putting it off. We pray that you'll obey like many have. And you get baptized and start worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings tonight. God, we're so thankful for Brother Fisher. We thank you for the book called the Bible, your scriptures, your word. It teaches us that your son was known as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Lord, we know he suffered. And we love you, Father, for sending us your son. And we love him for going through that cruel death, painful and shameful death on that cross. And you have recorded in your word he was a man of sorrows. We now pray for our listening audience that they would obey this truth. They'll see the love demonstrated by Jesus and respond in love and obedience to his will and your will. Father, we thank you for this call. We thank you for this conference call. This meeting's been going on great. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have supported us since the month of May, and all those who are joining us, continue to support us with prayer, supported by attending the call. They're supporting us financially. Lord, we just thank you for those who love you, who love the gospel, and who love what we're doing during this time of the pandemic. We pray for our brothers and sisters across the nation that they are being blessed to know that we got men like Brother Fisher and all other men we brought on this program that are still standing with the truth. We thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What another great night, another great week of sound preaching. Tomorrow night, Brother Harvey Stroud, my sister minister here in co-labor in Christ at Holland Heights, will close us out. The baptism is saved. Please invite someone to listen tomorrow night. Invite your friends. Help us pack this call. We've had large calls this week. We want it to continue to grow. Spread the word. Share the flyers. If you desire to support us financially, go ahead and go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. Go to online giving. Mail-in address is there. You can do it online. If you don't have, that's okay. We're not big. And it's just so many have donated, so many have offered. And we tell you, we will put it to good use for this purpose, keeping this call going as long as we can. We thank you all for listening tonight. Join us again tomorrow night. I pray you have a good night's rest now. God bless.